Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Swipe. If you are enjoying the podcast, please make sure to subscribe and leave a review on whatever podcast app you use. This really helps other people find our podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram at Let's Swipe Podcast. That's with two S's. We'd also love to hear your stories. Email us at letswipepod@gmail.com with questions, comments, or let us know you'd like to be a guest on the show. And now, this week's episode.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. Tonight, we are so excited because not only are all three of us back in one episode, which has been a few weeks for that, but we are also joined by the professor, Erica's other half. Who she met on online dating. So a success story. And I guess, are we revealing the professor's real name?
First name, anyway. I usually go by Chaz, but it's short for Charles. I grew up as Chuck. And really, any variation of Charles is fine, you know, so.
Okay. All right. So hi, Chaz. Welcome. We're so glad to have you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And then, hi, Amy and Erica.
Hello. Well, hello there. Yes, we're all back in the same digital vicinity. And so it's, howdy, guys.
Well, I guess a little bit of background, I suppose, if this is helpful. I found personally online dating to have been a godsend for introverts like me. Where, you know, when you grow up in a small town and mostly work in small towns until fairly recently when I moved to the St. Louis area. And if your hobbies are not particularly social, you know, if your hobbies are, say, reading books and tinkering with computers, that doesn't really lend itself to meeting a lot of people in general. And so, online dating was just like kind of a godsend in effect. Especially for an introvert like me, kind of a shy guy like me, that effectively vastly increases the supply to meet the demand, you know, because it wasn't like I didn't really get, honestly, I didn't really get into like serious regular dating until, honestly, late 20s, early 30s. And that sounds kind of crazy, I know. And it wasn't for lack of will. It was lack of opportunity. Because, again, when you're mostly working in small towns and, again, aren't super-duper social to begin with, I never was somebody who hung out at, bars or gyms or anything like that. And so, suddenly I was like, wow, I can at least say hi to, like, and this was years ago, of course, I can say hi to, like, you know, 20 different ladies a day, and maybe only one or two will wave back. But that was a much. But going from saying hello to 20 ladies in a given day online was quite an improvement over my usual number of zero in real life. So it was like instead of just waiting, you know, I think my a little further back here. My parents are very lucky. I have very good parents, and they got very lucky in the sense that they basically met who they were going to marry while they were still teenagers. I think Dad was 17 when he met my mom, and she's a little bit older, actually. She was, I think, 19 at the time, and I think they didn't start dating until he was about 18. But, they basically married the second or third person they dated. And just bam, that was it. And they've been married for almost 55 years now, something like that. Yeah, in that general.
Wow.
I want to say 64. I guess that'd be more like 57 years now, I suppose. So yeah. So
that's amazing.
Hey, so to them, I think they were puzzled at the fact that I wasn't having a lot of luck romantically. Because, like, well, they just sort of fell into it, and they had this attitude of, oh, well, it'll just sort of happen. And I was like, all right, cool, it'll just happen. I mean, the right woman will just sort of magically appear, and it's like, it's not really how it works in general. I mean, unless you get very lucky, like they did, meet someone perfect, you know, when you're still a teenager. Yeah, I mean, the you'll hear things like, "Oh, the right one will come along." That is true for some people, yes. But I mean, having something like online dating to kind of give the process a bit of a nudge is, again, it's kind of a tropey kind of word, I guess, but kind of a godsend. And yeah, if that makes any kind of sense.
So. It does. And a little bit more background, if I may. He'd been married and divorced. Married for about, what, 10 years?
Yeah, let's see. I guess technically legally married for about, I guess it was 9 years. I guess it was 9 years total.
Right.
With that person for I think a total of about 11 years. So yeah.
And then divorced, and you've been single for.
Yeah, since late 17. So, and we met in late 20, September 20. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So it took a few years to find a good one. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It's almost not for lack of will, but just for kind of lack of opportunity, lack of supply to meet the demand. I was almost like all my kind of pent up, like dating experience. I kind of just kind of sort of crammed in between, like, say about, 28 and about, I guess it was 34 or so. And then once I got divorced between, you know, the ages of, I guess it was like 47 and about 50 now. So, yeah. And yes, I'm, I am a fair bit older than I look. I'm 50, but I could probably pass for about 35, I find it's a lot more fun to be 50 and passing for 35 than being 35 and passing for 16. That was kind of annoying. Even now, I still occasionally get carded. So, yeah.
I was trying to find a nice way to say, okay, so who's the older person in the relationship? Because you do look very, very young. Our fair Erica also looks lovely, but I know how old Erica is, and I didn't want to be crass and be like,
oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
did you rob the cradle?
I think it's partly genetic, because my parents, of course, mom turned 80. When did she turn 80? I guess she turned 80 this year. And I don't think anybody believes she's 80 years old. I mean, like, other than the fact she's kind of gray. I mean, like, and dad would probably pass. I mean, they would both pass for probably about 60, 65 or so. And so, all four grandparents looked a bit younger than they actually were. So it's a kind of a genetic thing, which is, mom and dad, and especially the grandparents, they worked physically very hard in their lives. So it's surprising. I guess I just kind of have the young gene, I guess, if that makes any sense. So, yeah.
So, I know it's weird because now I feel like I'm starting to leave the interview, but so how were your dating experiences? What apps were you on, by the way?
I think it was mostly like about 80% of it was Match, partly because they just have such a big user base. It was just the sheer number of options is a lot higher on Match, at least among the ones I tried. I wasn't against, say, Tinder, but I thought, well, Match seems more my style, I suppose. I kind of had my plan B site, I think it was OkCupid. We might have met on OkCupid, actually.
I was going to ask you because I don't remember.
Like, I was mostly doing Match, but like a little bit of OkCupid. OkCupid was kind of like my backup site. I figured, in theory, I could have paid for like four or five memberships, but I thought, well, let's have like a major and a minor, basically. So, yeah. And it turned out what's the other one? eHarmony a little bit. I don't think that's the one we met on. I'm pretty sure it was OkCupid that we met on. But it's an interesting range of dating site styles that you have too, because Match is kind of like a default kind of basic, kind of like, you know, it could be as detailed as you want it to be. eHarmony was really like crazy detailed in the amount of like interviewing you'd have to do for the thing. And then when I jumped in, they surprisingly got a lot less detailed and a lot less like particular about, okay, we're going to have you sit down for a 40-minute interview. I'm like, oh gosh. And then, yeah, I tried it once, did the, I got about halfway through the 40-minute questionnaire process. I was like, I don't have time for this. And then a few years later, I thought, I'll try it again. And it was like almost shockingly lately, this is just my experience, almost shockingly more recently, like little detail and very few questions. And I kind of found like OkCupid was kind of roughly in between the old eHarmony, where there's almost too many questions, and Match, which in theory you could say, yep, here's my gender, here's my orientation, and here's a picture. Let's see what happens, you know. So I feel like OkCupid is kind of a nice middle ground. You can make it about as detailed as the old eHarmony if you wanted to, or you could just be fairly sparse in details. So yeah, and it was interesting also to see how some folks really filled out those profiles, and some folks were like, well, I'm a lady, I'm heterosexual, and here's my picture, and that was it. And you had to kind of find out the rest on your own. And mysteries are nice, but sometimes I'm like, I need to know a little more than basically a mugshot plus, you know, a nickname and, you know, and maybe an age. I might need a little more information than that. So I feel like I was fairly detailed without being over detailed, I think. So.
So what was the market like before we met?
It's almost like, in a way, I guess I should say basically, when I was single, kind of, I guess, if you pardon the expression, between girlfriends, my main hobby was trying to find another girlfriend, basically. So that was kind of like my main thing. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to check my email, I'm going to play a few video games, and then I'm going to look for another girlfriend, basically. Yeah, and so all on the same device, pretty much, you know, so it's very handy. But, it's almost in a way like, well, I mean, honestly, I get the impression it's very similar to real life, where you kind of have to read between the lines a bit. I mean, you hope people are being honest, but you kind of have to do that, the old saying, trust but verify kind of thing on some things. People talk about like, online versus real life. Of course, online is real life. It's just like, you know, real life that's being translated through a screen, basically. You know, it's really, online dating is basically, it's just a platform, an interface between you and other people. It's not like, it's this whole other, it's not like virtual reality or anything like that. So anyway, yeah. The market. Yeah, it was, as with offline looking for someone to be with, there's a pretty wide variety of personalities, a startlingly wide variety of personalities, anywhere from, people who, well, again, I'm not going to name names, of course, here, but somebody who clearly had problems, who I hope she gets the help she needs, basically, to, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, this was someone who clearly needed some kind of professional help of some kind. That was not obvious from the profile. There are a few what I'll call not red flags, but what I'll call yellow flags, if that makes sense. And I thought, well, I don't want to be like, you know, somebody who like misses out on something that might be a great opportunity just because I'm like, you know, I don't, just because of a few yellow flags. Maybe I'm just imagining things. Well, we'll see how this goes. And the yellow flags, I was like, oh yeah,
those were really red flags.
Yellow flags are really trying to be red flags.
They're orange.
But again, it's one of those, like, I mean, you could have people who, well, there's one where I didn't ask her out because I was half wondering if this was some kind of social experiment where she was like, okay, name and picture and orientation and so all that stuff. And then she spent half her profile, I'm totally serious about this, explaining how y'all really need to get your head around the fact that the earth is flat.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Like half her profile, like literally at least half, was talking about how, you know, folks, the earth really is flat, and y'all really need to like just kind of get your head around that and just kind of get with the program here. And I was thinking, wow, okay, she's cute. And this, of course, way before I met Erica. She's cute, and she seems reasonably educated, and she also thinks the earth is flat. Like, really, really seems to believe that. I'm like, at some point, that's going to be a problem. So I thought, I can't. It was almost like somebody's running a social experiment. Like, how cute can a woman be And also, how crazy can she, what kind of crazy ideas she can she express? How crazy can she express herself where she'll still get hit on anyway? I was almost half wondering if that was some kind of like, not scam, but some kind of social experiment or something.
Well, yeah, I feel like I've heard too of women like putting something, or not just women, but people putting stuff in their profile just that is really out there, just to see like if somebody's actually reading their profile. But it sounds like this lady might have been really passionate about being a flat earther if she wrote that much.
Like the other thing when you came back and
saw it. I think, and I can't remember what it was, but the same one, because she had a fairly distinct look. I passed that one by. I dated somebody else for a little while. And then, of course, yeah, as one does, I got back on Match or whichever site it was to kind of, you know, see who's next. And I was like, oh, there's Flat Earth Lady again. And this time, I swear I'm not making this up. Instead of Flat Earth taking up half her profile, it was, what was the other, it was replaced by some other crazy theory. Like, well, I'm not even sure if it wasn't Flat Earth, but it was something like in that general genre of like, whoa, come on now. Just
Mother
come
kind
on.
Of that thing.
I don't think it was like lizard people or anything like that. Like, you know, like the, or some, it was something like Illuminati level or lizard people running the earth kind of thing. It was something kind of on that general level where I was like, so you basically traded one crazy obsession for another, apparently. So unless the experiment was just continuing, I'm really not sure. But it was like, I wish I could remember what that was, but
I kind of wish you clicked on it.
Yeah,
and talked to her.
I was kind of curious, and of course you have the occasional awkward moment where you're like, oh, that's an administrator at the building I work at, and here she is on the you know, popping up in my feed. I'm like, oh, I'm torn between really being curious to like click on that picture and just kind of see what's going on, and then thinking, yeah, I don't want her knowing that I clicked on her picture because I kind of work with her, and you know, it's just no, just I resisted the temptation to click on a coworker's picture when I'm like, that just no, just that just didn't seem like it would go well either way, even if I just clicked just out of curiosity. So yeah, let's see, other. It's really online dating, I feel like, is it's well, basically, I know others have said similar things before, but it's almost like it is kind of like you're kind of putting out your resume, and really a first date really is an awful lot like a job interview, and you're both interviewing each other, you know, in a way. And so there's no clear interviewer and interviewee, but really, again, it's in a way like Match.com is kind of like Indeed or Monster or whatever. You're like, well, here's my resume. What do y'all think? Who's gonna hire me? You know? And then you get that first date, and it's kind of like you're basically kind of interviewing each other. You try not to make it feel too much like a job interview, but like it's gonna feel that way a little bit. Because of course you get occasionally people who, well, they interview well, and then, you know, like in real life for jobs, they interview well, but then like, oh, like three weeks later, it's like, oh no, I should not have hired this person. So yeah.
They totally lied on their resume.
Yeah. And again, you hope people are honest, and at least online dating gives you a general idea more so than it would if you say just bumped into somebody at a grocery store, some idea of what you're probably going to be getting. It's almost like say, like the packaging on say something you pick up at the grocery store. You're like, oh wow, this has got a lot of carbs. I don't know if I want this. You know, you put that back, because like, oh, that packaging is nice, but oh, there's a lot of cholesterol in this one. I don't know if I really should take this one home either. You know, so not to be too silly about the analogy there, but yeah, One of the great things about online dating, at least it gives you some idea, assuming the person is being at least somewhat honest, that this is roughly what you can expect. And sometimes people get pretty extreme with some of these, and sometimes they're very sparse. Like sometimes, I mean, just my experience. There were an awful lot of profiles out there where it was picture, gender, age, and like under hobbies and stuff they like, it'd be like, well, I like laughing and traveling and movies, and that's it. I'm like, I don't know what I mean. I never actually said this to anybody, but I'm like, huh, you like traveling, laughing, and movies. So does everybody. What else you got? I mean, like something, some original something, even if it's a little bit odd, I'd rather see something a little bit, well, I'm an aspiring professional yo-yo,
tricer, artist.
Yeah, I mean, something that would at least, you know, so I tried to.
You just totally answered one of my questions, because I was going to ask you if there were any, like looking at profiles, if there were any kind of like the male version of, like we always joke about man holding a fish photos.
Yeah.
Like if you've seen kind of like the opposite sex version of that, like if there are trends that you see that people do that you wish they didn't.
Well, I mean, I guess offhand,
like,
I'm thinking
like laugh and go hiking or.
Yeah, and that's good. And that's, but it's like, I guess specifics and details is always good. I appreciate that anyway, even if the details are a little bit odd, as long as it's not like, you know, as long as it's not creepy weird. I mean, that's fine. You know, something that makes the person stand out. But yeah, the offhand, I guess, as far as profiles go, things that were kind of, well, tropey, a little bit too common. An awful lot of, what's the phrase, duck lip pictures were like.
Are those still a thing?
I mean, yeah, an awful lot of like, ooh, I'm making kissy faces at my camera phone kind of stuff.
I really thought that trend had ended. I mean, I don't see those pictures, but it just seems like. Because I mean, I like on my Facebook, I have a lot of younger people because of my job, and like I had noticed a lot of them were doing duck face for a while, and that has died down. And I had hoped that also translated to the dating sites, but I guess not.
Well, I mean, there is that. I mean, like that's it wasn't like constant or anything like that, but there was some of that, and some of like, I mean, and again, there's nothing wrong with these things. It's just they're just things that they're so common, they kind of just start to kind of all look the same after a while. If you see too many like duck face pictures, and it's like, well, okay, I've seen ones, kind of seen them all, kind of thing. Other ones where, well, if they post a picture where they and several somewhat similar looking friends are all crowded in the same area, and they don't say which one's them, and I'm like, I don't really know for sure which one's you. So, you know, maybe point yourself out, or I don't know, maybe like fuzz out the other faces or something, you know. Let's see. I mean, I don't know if there's a specific I don't know if there's an exact analog for the you know, guy holding fish thing, or guy like, you know, wearing a muscle shirt going, look at my muscles or whatever. But the duck faces were fairly common, I guess. The I guess as awesome as it would be to travel to Paris, anybody who's traveled to Paris has their, look at me, I'm in front of the Eiffel Tower picture. It's like, well, maybe some other stuff you've seen in France besides the Eiffel Tower, because everybody's kind of seen those. I mean, it's cool, but it's like, well, something a little different, you know, like finding a way to make yourself stand out is I think the key. And I hope I did that by, you know, mainly with the profile, with the actual text of the profile, by being fairly detailed and kind of having a pretty good idea of saying what I was looking for and what I was not looking for. All that went through hard experience. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, because I'd heard about, or at least like, before I met you, like guys like, oh, you didn't put, like, what about filters? Like, were there a lot of females with like heavy makeup or filters or?
Yeah, there was some of that. I think, sometimes you have like really heavy gauze and it's so soft focus. You're like, I can't really tell what she looks like there, you know, or ones where we're like, okay. I mean, and again, I think I kind of, I mean, I, I'm just going to, I'm not to sound, um, um, like, uh, egotistical or anything, but I think I can kind of get away with posting an older photo because I haven't really, I've looked roughly the same since about, say, 2003. So, I mean, other than my hair getting a little bit grayer, I look fairly similar to the way I did when I was, say, 35. But when you have people who post pictures that are, when they're, say, 40, and they're posting a picture that's clearly their freshman year in college, it's like, and the main thing is not even so much that it's an older picture. It's more of a matter of, okay, is that really an accurate representation of what you look like now? Not even like, okay, well, just because you look cute in this picture, I mean, that's great, but like, the main thing about the pictures is it needs to reflect accurately what the person looks like today. Even if the picture's a bit older, if they age fairly slowly, you know, a picture from say 10 or 15 years ago is probably fine. But, you know, if I may say so, if that picture was from say 53 pounds ago, you know, plus or minus, you know, or if like, say, the haircut's radically different, that kind of thing. I mean, just make sure that the picture you're posting there, I would recommend, be at least like reasonably close to what you look like now, you know, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
Do you remember what your first the first email exchange was? Do you guys remember what you said to each other?
Precisely. I mean, from my end, I think it was more of a, you know, hey, you know, how are you? You know, I think I probably commented on some of the stuff you wrote in your profile, that kind of thing. I would try to like not be like, hey, how you doing? Joey from Friends thing. Hey, how you doing? I try not to do that. I try to at least say something based on what they actually wrote in the profile, some comment about a picture, about one of their pictures, something to work with. And that's another reason why it's so important to have details. So the guy, if again, I don't want to assume here, but it's frequently the guy who's introducing himself first, I suppose, at least in standard, you know, heterosexual arrangements here. The guy needs something to kind of like start the conversation with. And you know, I mean, yes, I have known dudes who could get away with saying, hey, you're really hot, you want to dance? And that works because they're good looking enough to get away with that. I kind of have to rely a little more on, you know, like, you know, being somewhat glib and not being just, you know, massively beefy and, hey, you want to dance? Yeah. You know, so yeah. So having something for the guy to kind of say, start the conversation with, like, oh, wow, you know, like, there you are in a kayak. I've been kayaking once or twice. What do you, where have you been kayaking? Something. Because again, you know, the whole, laughing, traveling in movies thing, it's not a lot to work with, you know. So what is at least an interesting picture that's not something you see every day, some interesting detail in the profile, that kind of thing.
I couldn't tell you what the heck we talked about, but it was the specifics of like each other, and then I guess the like we should probably see if each other are real people in real life and not serial killers. So and then just like, you know, finding a good meeting place for that.
And that was Laumeier Sculpture Park. Mm-hmm. I believe that was your first date, right?
It was. Yeah, it was. And I don't know how much of this, if we're still trying to keep it not like city specific or if we just put that to the wind. But yeah, so. And if we're not trying to make this like a meet cute episode, then, oh my God, then he brought donuts, which he did. Homeboy, was it half a dozen or was it a full dozen? He said he was going to bring donuts before we went walking. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, you know, and he brought like an actual box of donuts. And I'm like, oh, here's a donut or two. And I'm like, the fuck are we going to do with like half a dozen donuts before we go walking? Yeah. But it was okay because he's got a sweet tooth and he was able to take them home, dispatch them at a later time. But anyway. So apparently like I was one of the ones that waved back to him and I, as far as I know, if I don't have any duck lips, like in my profile or yeah, I took him out like since then, not that I have it up anymore. And it's kind of been that from there. So dear listeners, like, and honestly, like I I just kept on the profiles, even though I was just kind of like, I don't know, these guys. But I'm like, yeah, fuck it. We'll just do it for the podcast. So if it wasn't for the podcast, I wouldn't have met this one. I'm pretty sure. So anyway. Aww.
Yay, success story.
Yay. Until he throws me on my ass because I'm shacking up with him. So, like, it's his place. He might be like, get the fuck out. I'd be like, okay.
It's our home.
We got a recliner together.
Anyway, so you guys got anything, like, any questions for somebody who's also kind of been out of the dating scene for a while? Like, art.
I'm glad you kind of came in and redeemed OkCupid, because I think that was for the most part, that was our dating app of choice. And then we kind of got into a poo-poo OkCupid phase for a while there. So I'm glad it has redeemed itself a little.
Yeah, I think OkCupid, again, I haven't been on it for a while now, but I feel like I like that they were kind of a nice, to me, middle ground between the full-on, you know, let's sit down and you know, it was the full-on, like, near therapy session level of the old eHarmony versus something where it's like, hey, here's my picture, let's go do stuff type of arrangements you might have with something like again, I want a stereotype. I haven't actually used Tinder, but the stereotype of Tinder, of course, is just as a picture and like, is this person hot or not? Click, or, you know, swipe left, swipe right, whatever. But I like that the OkCupid was a nice middle ground, and you could make it as detailed as you wanted it to be. And some of the questions are pretty thought provoking, and they'll basically let you keep answering questions, at least last I was on there, like until you're like, all right, I'm tired of this. I'm answering enough questions for now. And it was interesting to see some folks would answer like 100 questions, and some people would answer like one or two, and that's it. And if I recall, you would answer at least, you know, 10 or 12 or so, and I had some pretty interesting answers there. And to me, the most revealing parts of those were the not so much the, you know, yes or no answers, but the can you elaborate on that type section.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, this is why they think that or whatever. So, one of the things I really love about Erica is the fact that even though we don't always agree, there's not that much daylight between us as far as like cultural and political type stuff, lifestyle type stuff. But we agree just enough to be compatible, but we disagree just enough to learn from each other, I think.
Anyway. We do.
So yeah, you gotta have a little bit of space there to create just enough of the right kind of friction, if that makes any kind of sense. So yeah.
Yeah, it does. Oh my gosh, I wish the listeners could see how cute they are together, like just looking at each other as they're talking. They look so freaking cute.
Well, yeah, and we're not usually this better.
It's so adorable.
Don't get too cuted out, you guys. I mean, we do like each other and everything, but we're trying to be in the same shot, you know, because we're on Skype and this part is video, you know, even if the podcast is audio. And yeah, I mean, it's just two people live together. There's times that, you know, I'm doing my thing, he's doing his, and you know, most of the time we hang out with each other, but we're not like. Well, there's sometimes I'm like, oh my god, dude, just and sometimes it's like, oh my god, dude, just so.
Well, one of my I have a lot of favorite quotes, and one of my favorite quotes is I can't remember where this was. I feel like it was Entertainment Weekly or something like that. It's happened to me flipping through that a few years ago, and Goldie Hawn was asked what it was like to live with Kurt Russell for, like, at that point, like 40 years or whatever it was, you know, a long, long kind of almost common law marriage kind of situation without an actual formal marriage. And, you know, hey, Goldie, what's it been like living with Kurt Russell for all this time? And the quote, which is one of my favorites, is she immediately replied with 68% of the time, it's been great.
That is a good quote. That's great.
I think is about right, because, like, you know, I have, long time ago, I was with someone who kind of expected every day to be the Harlequin romance novel. And I was like, lady, no living man can sustain that. we can't be Fabio every day. I mean, even if you want us to be Fabio every day, we can't maintain that. It's like, to me anyway, a long-term romantic relationship is a loving partnership with moments of romance. You kind of pace yourself. Both people have to have at least similar expectations about, like, you know, intensity levels, frequency of those romantic moments, and what a romantic moment comprises. But you know, it's like, I can't be swinging from the chandeliers with the rose clenched between my teeth every day. That's silly.
We need to have a talk, because you've not done that once. I mean, aside from the fact we don't have any chandeliers, so we need to look into this.
But yeah, it's like I feel like I've had a pretty good cross section of dating experiences, and I was with someone years ago who was kind of the opposite. It was like, there was like, what are you trying to hold my hand for? You know, it's not your birthday, that kind of thing. And again, that's an exaggeration, but it's like, and again, it's, you know, God bless her. And she's a wonderful person, but it was like, that's what the expectations were, like, kind of too far. Being with someone who was like on all the time versus someone who's like, you know, like so low key, let's say, in the romance department, and it's like, I need something to happen here at some point. It's like, you got to find that nice middle ground. The middle ground is what each person feels it to be. You know, there's no objective right or wrong answer there. It's like, do these people work together, basically, if that makes any kind of sense? So,
yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's great.
I mean, there might be someone who's like, yes, I can be, you know, Fabio every day, and that he'd be perfect, he'd be perfect for that one. And then
Fabio can be Fabio every day.
Thank you, Amy. I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, all that hair, that's a lot of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of shampoo and conditioner.
I mean, I think that's one of those, like, unrealistic fantasy, like, almost like an immature idea of what love is. I mean, of course, there are some people that want more romance than other people, and that spectrum, that's all fine. But yeah, to think that, like, every day is going to be, you know, magical is just, it just seems unrealistic, you know. But I'm sure we have listeners who would disagree with me, and obviously I should listen to that. But to me, like, I can't fathom, like, that Fabio big grand romance all of the time. And also, I think it's, like, totally awesome and shows our age that we are using Fabio as our reference piece, because any of our younger listeners are like, what the hell are they talking about?
I'm not sure.
And then they're going to go look up a picture of Fabio, and they're going to be like, wait, that's who they think, like, the epitome of romance is. And it's like, yep, that's the way it was in the 90s, right? He was like 80s and 90s. Is that when he was so big?
Yeah, he used to. Didn't they have, like, they do photo shoots with models, like big strapping men like that with the flowing hair for romance novel covers?
Yeah, I think, like, Fabio was one of those models, right? Like,
I think that's how he got the prominence. The funny thing is, I'll have to ask, this is just an aside, I'll have to ask my boss, but my boss actually has a friend who does that. Like, he's the, like, shirtless dude that for, like, you know, for romance. And apparently,
the sweetest guy in the world. I totally love to meet that friend. I mean, totally, like, as a platonic thing.
Absolutely.
Ask him what that's like.
Yeah. It must be, apparently, it's fantastic. You know, and God bless him, because apparently this dude is, like, super nice, super sweet, not the brightest, which is, you know, and you're like, oh, of course he's pretty, like, but I think the guy just, like, legit just, you know, he's okay, he doesn't, like, walk into, like, walls or anything like that, but at the same time, it's like, oh, it's a good thing you save that money, big boy. see what you can do with that, like, once you hit to be a certain age. But yeah, I'll have to ask him how the guy's doing. But apparently that guy was doing great for a while. It may still be doing great, so.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness. All right, well, I think we are winding down for time. So are there any, Amy, do you have any final question or anything for?
So I'll probably think of something as it, you know, in the vein of dating being like an interview, I'll think of three questions after the interview is over. So is there a phone number where I could call with questions?
Are there any final thoughts that you, Chaz or Erica, want to share before we wrap up?
Well, maybe. And I can only speak from my own experience as a straight dude. But and again, I know others have said similar things before, but maybe I'll just reiterate this. It took me a lot longer to learn this, I think, than it should have. And I think partly because I looked at mom and dad and thought, well, they met, they just sort of fell into each other's laps after after 2 or 3 years of dating. Why can't that kind of thing just sort of happen to me? It's like, well, it took me a long time to realize they just, God bless them. They just got lucky, basically. You know, a lot of that was just luck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just the stars align, it just happens for somebody, basically. But for everybody else, it's going to involve some work. And I think the trick is, like, kind of alluding to the whole, I like traveling and laughing in movies. It's like, okay, you got to find some way to stand out in a good way. At least as a guy, I can say that, like, well, the whole, but I'm such a nice guy. How come ladies aren't dating me more? It's like, yeah, again, dude, like at least 62% of dudes are nice enough.
Yeah.
For someone to date, being just nice, like not being aggressively rude. That's barely a qualification for anything other than staying out of jail. You need, I mean, finding some way to stand out in a positive way. And like I say, pursue your hobbies, find your bliss, find someone who at least doesn't mind you talking about those things. And maybe this sounds like a bit of a superficial thing, but one thing I would tell my, say, you know, 18 or 19 or 20 year old self is, again, it's work. I don't want to stereotype here, but I feel like in general for guys, this is even more important than it might be for ladies. Get fit and stay fit. You know, I stayed away from lifting for a long time. Not that I'm like an avid lifter or anything like that now, but I didn't lift for a long time. Cause I thought, that's just for athletes. I'm not in the football team or basketball team. Why should I lift? Right? Well, it occurred to me, and it took a lot longer than it should have for this to occur to me. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete or not. There's no downside to being stronger. Absolutely none. As long as you maintain like a balance between that and all the other stuff you do, you know, don't get obsessed with weightlifting unless, I don't know, you're going for the Olympics or something. But like, there's no downside to being stronger. And honestly, I feel like all things being roughly equal, two similar looking guys standing in front of a lady who has to make a choice, hypothetically, she's probably going to lean toward the one with the bigger shoulders. Not to be, you know, like stereotypical or anything, but she's probably going to lean that way a bit, you know. It's being stronger, fitter is going to help, you know. And oddly enough, I'm in pretty good shape now, partly because I kind of have to be, because once I slipped a disc, the doc said, you got to really make sure that core stays good or else your back's going to fall apart again. So I kind of had to get in better shape than I really kind of necessarily have to be in. And I'm like, wow, I actually kind of like not only how I look this way with a little bit more fitness going on, but I like being stronger. You know, I like not being winded when I walk up a flight of stairs and so forth, you know. So I hope to make some kind of sense. I don't want to be stereotypical or make the superficial or anything, but like, you know, looks do matter. for everybody. I mean, and anybody who says they don't matter at all, I mean, that, you know, I for a vanishingly small percentage of people, only a vanishingly small percentage of people can say honestly that looks truly don't matter to them. It's like, they're going to matter somewhat to everybody, you know. And so if you're looking for a way to stay competitive, and again, this is a competition. It maybe we don't want to think of it that way, but it is kind of a competition out there. You know, like just like we compete for jobs, we compete for, you know, someone to be with. And to get and maintain an edge, I mean, again, just besides, you know, staying up with current events and, you know, being reasonably educated, and for men especially, I feel like, again, not to be stereotypical, you know, maintaining some kind of steady job, you know. Although I feel like I don't think that income disparities ought to matter too much. I think ladies can at least reasonably expect that you have a full-time job of some kind. That's not an unreasonable expectation, you know. So, like, you know, get a decent job, hold on to it, you know, stay fit, and keep reading too. So, you know, but like I say, it's just I think that third piece, the fitness part, I didn't really realize the importance of it until much later in life than I should have realized it, if that makes some kind of sense. Again, this is not to be stereotypical or cliche or anything like that, but again, this stuff does matter. I remember hearing about, if I'm rambling too much, is that too much? Are you calling time?
Maybe.
Okay, sorry. Okay, but yeah, okay,
so, no, it's a good point.
I hope that's, well, that's the gist anyway. I hope that makes some kind of sense. So.
Yeah. So.
No, yeah. That made a lot of sense. I think that's good advice. I think good advice for everybody. And I think, you know, especially as we get older, it's like, you know, especially that fitness piece can be, you know, a little harder. So definitely if we have young listeners listening, it's starting earlier. It does help you in the long run, for sure.
I will add that physical fitness also helps contribute to your mental
true
fitness.
True.
Yes.
As well.
Definitely. Really good point.
And I'm totally pulling the pot kettle on that one, because I should be doing all of those things, and I'm totally slacking right now. So
it's like with many things, it's like, and again, it's easier said than done, obviously, like mm-hmm. most things are easier said than done.
Oh, for sure.
It's certainly easier to stay in shape than to get back into shape. If you can maintain it, make it a habit, and find a workout routine that the problem was before, I would start a workout routine, I get bored with it, then I just drop it. So I finally found a mixture of exercises that just keeps me entertained, basically. And now it's like, okay, I can maintain that, basically. Find a workout routine of some kind that covers as much of the body as you reasonably can, that, you know, keeps you engaged and that you're going to stick with. You know, I don't, you know, there's all kinds of things I'd rather not have to do every day, but it's like, well, it's just kind of like you have to brush your teeth every day. It's the same basic thing. It's part of maintaining the body, and it does get harder as you get older, but you still kind of have to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
definitely. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Chaz. It was a delight to hear from you and your perspective. And it was double delightful to see you and Erica sitting on a couch making little cutesy faces at each other.
Oh, that's so cute.
But I think that does us for this episode. So thanks, everybody. Bye, Chaz. Bye, Erica. Bye, Amy.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Thanks again for listening to Let's Swipe. We will be back again next week. Until then, happy swiping.